Kevin, it's a dark, dark what, day.
What's up, buddy? I know what you're upset about.
6 field goals, man. We held them to completely 6 field goals, and we still lost.
I'm sorry, man.
And holding call at the end of the game. NFL playoffs. There's nothing that breaks your heart more.
Yeah, it hurts to have a team in the playoffs to lose in their first playoff entry.
Yeah.
At least you guys had a week off, but you guys had a home field game too, and the Steelers were able to find a way to beat your Chiefs, bro. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to open up here.
Can I be honest with you real quick? I was actually pulling for your Chiefs. I was.
Yeah. Well, you know, I respect the
Chiefs, and I would have liked to have seen them, you know, advance at least.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I mean, I up until Sunday's games, this hasn't been the most exciting playoff football.
That depends on your perspective. Now, I'm going to give you my perspective, but why are you saying that?
To me, one, we haven't had that many competitive games. I mean, when we go back and look at the wild card round, you know, unfortunately for your Raiders, it was not pretty with Connor Cook, and it led to
I'll give it to you for the divisional round, which is the first round of playoffs. It was not pretty. I'll agree with that. It was several blowouts, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, and then even the two games Saturday turned into really not that competitive.
You're talking about Houston, Oakland, and Seattle, Detroit, right?
Right. Neither one of those games were that fun to watch. And then and
Pittsburgh and Miami.
That was over within about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and the Green Bay Giants. Yeah, not yeah, too. That was probably the most exciting game, would you say?
Yeah, but the first half of that game, until Aaron Rodgers went Hail Mary yet again, was very dull. And then the Packers just kind of ran away with it.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like a bump in the road for the teams that were meant to move on. As much as I loved the fact that my Raiders were in their first playoff game since 2002, first winning season since then, but we were without the person that brought us there, and that was Derek Carr. And our backup, Matt McGloin, couldn't do it. And Connor Cook was just kind of thrown into the mess. We just could not do it. But it was almost like, you know, it would have been wonderful if they could have won that game, moved on. But realistically, though, the teams, I think, that were meant to win those games advanced. And it was kind of like, okay, let's see who the pretenders are and who's a little bit more serious. But then we get to the divisional playoffs.
Now, Saturday.
Do you stand by what you said with the same thing for the divisional playoffs, or would you say that was a little more exciting?
Well, let me put it this way. Saturday's games. Let's start with Saturday. The Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. Did really any of us have any faith in Brock Osweiler?
No, that was another bump in the road for a team that was on a bye, having their first playoff game in the playoffs, which was, you know, the New England Patriots. I think we knew that outcome. Although going into halftime, there was some adjustments that obviously the Patriots had to make, but there was a little bit of questioning of whether or not the Patriots were going to do it. But of course, Bill Belichick was Bill Belichick, said, nope, not in my hometown. Let's go kick these guys' butts.
Yeah, and Tom Brady's on a mission, but that's...
Yeah, but Tom Brady was throwing, like, he threw like two interceptions that were kind of unlike him, and so there was like a little question there. But yeah, Okay, so that was the late game on Saturday. Let's talk about the Atlanta Seattle game.
Now, of course, we're gonna give this the caveat. The Raider nerd was in attendance at the Atlanta Seattle game.
Yes, now, I was.
I will say this. The first half of Atlanta-Seattle was competitive. It was quite entertaining. But Seattle just did not have the horses to keep up with Atlanta. And by the end of that game, there was no doubt.
Yeah, I had a different perspective on this game because a friend of mine, John, who actually is a Tampa Bay fan, he got tickets for this and he asked if I wanted to go. And I said, well, sure. And he said that you don't have to pay me for the ticket. You just have to arrange transportation, which I did. And I also bought him lunch. And we were on the first level, ground level seating. So we had a nice perspective of the and view of the field. And it was very interesting because I've been to several Falcons games. And, of course, keep in mind, I was wearing all of my Raider stuff. I was Raidered out. This is the first time I saw the Falcons fans stay on their feet for most of the game. And I thought it was very classy that the Falcons had a chance to try and score at the end and you know, kind of embarrass the Seattle Seahawks, but instead decided to take the knee. I thought that was very classy because the Seahawks, they're playing a little dirty at times. They're going for some low shots, and they were frustrating that they weren't going to be able to move on. But I got to tell you something, a little personal side story on this. And it's okay. Something I've been noticing a lot of lately. So Derek Carr breaks his leg and goes out. Raider Nation is devastated. And wherever I walk now, I carry something Raider on me, whether it's my cap. If I'm at work, I might have my knit cap on because it's cold, or I might be drinking my water bottle. So people will always see a Raider emblem on me somewhere. And I've had so many people come up to me and say, hey, man, I'm really sorry about Carr. Sorry about your season. And it was kind of wearing on me thin because that's all I was getting. I was kind of getting that, I'm so sorry, you know. But what's interesting about it was that it was genuine. I didn't hear like, ha ha, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, Carr went down. You know, you guys are almost there. Uh-oh, neener, neener. I've been getting none of that here in Atlanta. And I'm not talking about just from Atlanta fans. I'm talking about fans from all teams saying how genuinely disappointed they were that Carr went down. And when I was at that Atlanta game and I was wearing my Raider jersey, I had Seattle fans. I had and Atlanta fans coming up to me saying, hey, man, I'm really sorry about Carr. And it made me realize how much of an impact that Carr as a person and a player had on fans in general, that people were rooting for him and rooting for the Raiders because they're not that old Raiders where they're bunch of jerks and they're, you know, there's a different image now. And being led by Derek Carr, I realized how many people that aren't Raiders fans were rooting for him.
Well, and I think part of that comes from, and I'm sure as a Raider fan, you're very familiar with the story of Derek Carr and his young child.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ESPN did a very, when Derek Carr was coming out for the draft, they did a big story about that. And when you have a story like that coming behind you and you've got a guy who seems so genuine as Derek Carr, and he's not out there trash talking people. He's just out there playing the game, working hard, doing what you need to do. That's always going to draw people in.
Yeah. And I didn't get to the point to where I was like reminded of how our season ended and how disappointing it was. I was reminded about how this leader of our team is also setting an example for the rest of the team to be a good person. Don't be that jerk player. Don't be that person that gets these taunting fouls and blah blah blah. That the fans in the NFL are pulling for this guy. And it's kind of like, you know, when you pull for other players from other teams that maybe aren't on your team and you like them for a particular reason. And I just thought that was really cool. And I wanted to share that because it made the experience even more enjoyable of seeing the Falcons win in person. So,
yeah. Now I'm going to save the best game for last, Kevin. So let's go to Sunday, and let's talk about the later of the two games, which was actually supposed to be the earlier of the two games, but because of inclement weather, NFL concerns, they moved it to a Sunday night game. And that is
okay. So this is the Kansas City Pittsburgh game because there was ice everywhere, so they had to they wanted the day to prep and get rid of that ice and make it safe for fans. Is that what the deal was?
Very much so. Okay. Yeah, that big ice storm going through the Midwest. They just were being precautionary for the fans. Now this game started off like gangbusters. Pittsburgh moved the ball down. Kansas City held them to a field goal. Kansas City turned around, marched right down the field with some great trick plays involving Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. Jeremy Maclin had a couple of nice catches, scored a touchdown, took an early 7-3 lead. Pittsburgh was moving the ball up and down the field basically at will, but every time they hit the red zone, Kansas City shut them down, and they held Pittsburgh to a field goal. Pittsburgh did not score a touchdown in this football game. However, from the second quarter till about halfway through the fourth quarter, the Kansas City offense just disappeared. Pittsburgh, the amount of plays difference between Pittsburgh and Kansas City was almost double.
I'll be honest with you. I did not watch this game because of the new time zone. I had to be at work the next morning. I couldn't watch this game at all. Let me ask you, did they bottle up Tyreek Hill? Were they trying to stop hit the hot playmaker that's been money for you guys for a while?
I'll tell you where they bottled him up was on special teams. They did a phenomenal job of keeping him contained in special teams. What Kansas City was doing with Tyreek Hill that was working a lot for them was they were using him as a decoy, because wherever he went, half the Pittsburgh defense flowed that direction. So it was freeing up other players for Kansas City, but there were some drops, and Kansas City beat themselves. There were some incredibly stupid penalties. Travis Kelce picked up an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for pushing a player down that was just bonehead.
Dude, I know your pain. I hate it when a team beats itself like that. I've seen Raiders do that many times.
Like I said, they held Pittsburgh to 6 field goals.
You guys should have won that game.
And
jeez,
we even tied up the game at the end of the game, but due to a holding call, and there's been this controversy in Kansas, there's guys on Kansas City who say it wasn't a holding call. You go back and you watch that replay, and even me as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, when you tackle the opposing pass rusher, it's a hold.
Did you believe that it was the right call, the holding call, when it happened, or were you convinced like afterwards when you were kind of like, you know, analyzing it?
No, once they showed the replay of it, and because it was not obvious to see on the actual broadcast when it first happened. When they showed the replay of it, to me, it was very obvious it was a hold. It was disappointing. I knew at that moment the game was over, because there was just Kansas City, the way their offense was playing, didn't have the capability of making that 12-yard.
How was Alex Smith making the right throws, or was he off too, or was it just the receivers not catching? What was the?
It's a combination of everything. I don't think necessarily Alex Smith was off. He threw one interception, but the interception happened because he was hit as he was throwing the football.
Right. Well, was it unlike Travis Kelce to do a penalty like that? Is he normally not like that?
No, he's been a hothead, and that's something they need to work on with him in the offseason.
Okay.
And there's a lot of, but it was a couple of things. One, the Pittsburgh defense has vastly improved as the season's gone along. They have a young linebacker by the name of Bud Dupree who's really stepped up in the last several weeks. Alex Smith was under pressure quite a bit. Now, there were several drops by Kansas City receivers, and wide receiver has been an issue for Kansas City, even when they brought in Jeremy Maclin, and even with Tyreek Hill kind of exploding as a rookie.
Right.
That's still something they need to address in the offseason. And Kansas City's defense, while still very good, was definitely missing veteran linebacker Derek Johnson.
Let me ask you this. Before we get into the other game, the big one, let me ask you about your Chiefs real quick. Are you happy with Alex Smith being your quarterback and moving into to next year? Do you think there's a lot to build on, or do you want to see someone replaced or someone promoted up to starter or whatever?
I am currently happy with Alex Smith as the starter. What I am not happy with is, and this is just a typical Andy Reid thing that he has always done, is he gets into these conservative play calling and he does not manage his clock well. And that's been a problem with him since Philadelphia.
Okay.
I have no problem, though. It is probably time for Kansas City to start thinking about drafting a quarterback and developing him.
Right.
Not one of these, oh, I've drafted this quarterback in the
third. Where do you stand on Jamaal Charles? Because there's people thinking that it's time for him to move on, or at least maybe give him one more shot when he's healthy.
Well, here's the problem. I think unless Jamaal Charles renegotiates his contract, he will be gone. He had turns out he did not have one. He had both knees operated on in November.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
He is due $7 million next season.
Does he have to, like, show up at a certain day on training camp to get that, or are they going to cut him before they have to pay up?
It's a non-guaranteed. He's passed all the guarantees in his contract. So if they cut him, it's no dead cap money. So that's unless he's willing to renegotiate, because they still have Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West, and they're probably going to use Tyreek Hill more a little bit in the running back position next year.
Okay.
So they've got some decisions to make. One of the big things is they've got one of their big contracts kicking in, and that was Justin Houston's contract extension kicks in, and he's going to be paid $25 million next year.
Gosh, yeah, that's a big chunk of change.
Well, you've got that to look forward to with Khalil Mack in about two more seasons. So.
Yeah, I just want to mention something with my Raiders in the offseason. I think that Derek Carr is going to get his payday, and I think he should. Mack still has another season before they need to worry about him. But what I'm really hopeful about is we're going to get some good free agent signings too, because I think people are going to want to play for this team now that it's well run. So,
well, I don't know what your salary cap situation is like. But.
We are fourth or fifth with the most amount of money to spend. It's something like that. So we're in a good position. So, okay. Now we got our Homer opinions out of the way. let's get to a recap of that that Dallas Green Bay game, man. So Dallas was favored about 4 or 5 points at home. They had the bye. Green Bay is the hot team. Aaron Rodgers, the Messiah, who said, "Don't worry, we're going to run the table. Don't worry about us." Seemed to be sticking to that.
Yeah. Well, but they're going into this game with concerns. No Jordy Nelson.
Oh, you're talking about the Dallas game?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, but it really doesn't matter who he throws it to, it seems like. And Ty Montgomery has just been awesome. And Jared Cook, oh my God, we'll go into that catch. But so Green Bay looked like they were going to run away with this game.
Yeah, last
quarter, Dallas comes back to tie. And was making this a game, and I was just like, okay, this is getting really good. You give Aaron just a little bit of time, he's gonna make you pay for it.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is one of these quarterbacks. If you give him 30 seconds, you've given him too much time. And
how much time does he? Okay, how much time was there before he made that pass to that magnificent catch by
Jared Cook?
Yeah, to put him in position for that field goal, that winning field goal.
Maybe 15 seconds on the clock.
Oh, my God.
Because there's only like 5 or 6 seconds left on the clock when they kick the field at the end of that play.
That Jared Cook catch was major toe drag swag, bro.
Oh, that Jared Cook catch is going to go up there with the catch.
But that pass was just like it was such an awesome pass too, man. I'm sorry, Cowboy fans, but man.
Well, what I find funny is, I mean, this is not the first time Aaron Rodgers has pulled off where he said something and it's panned out. What I'm laughing about down here, being in Florida, though, and you being in Atlanta, you're probably familiar with this, too, is, of course, all the Tim Tebow comparisons that are coming now after Tebow did his whole thing several years ago where we're not going to lose another game. We're going to go on and win the championship. And Rodgers did this whole thing with, oh, we're running the table. So there's been a lot of comparisons between the two.
Yeah. Now, my question is, though, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but when he says we are running the table, he had to run the table to get into the playoffs, pretty much.
Correct.
That's what he was referring to. He wasn't counting all the way to the playoffs for the Super Bowl, was he?
No, but he might change that tune if they win the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant all along.
Oh man, I was what's interesting. Back to the Atlanta game real quick. So I'm at the game, right? And Atlanta is winning this game. They have it in hand. The fans are going crazy, and you know what everyone was saying? We need the Packers to win. We are the biggest Packer fans, because if the Packers win, Atlanta gets one more home game. And it's going to be the last home game at the Georgia Dome, because literally right next to the Georgia Dome is the brand new Mercedes-Benz new Falcons Dome Stadium that also opens up at the top and it closes.
Yeah, it looks crazy.
Incredible. Oh, dude, it is very impressive up close. So they were all hoping for a Packers win. It was really exciting because you guys are like big Packers fans now. And I knew they had a chance to win that game, but I thought Dallas was going to squeak that one out, and I was wrong. And I'm kind of glad I was wrong, because seeing the playoff excitement here in Atlanta and being able to have one more game at the Georgia Dome, which is still a great dome. It's a great place to put a bet, but they're going to be tearing that thing down. They were actually mentioning to the season ticket holders that they have a chance to basically take the seat home with them when that opportunity becomes available.
Well, now let me ask you this, because the Georgia Dome isn't that old, is it?
No, it's not. It's still a great looking stadium. I don't understand why they're I guess it's money and they can, and they want
it's,
to
it's literally keeping up with the Joneses.
It's not just that Arthur Blank is putting money investment into the new soccer professional soccer team that Atlanta has been awarded. So that's part of it as well. They want to have a stadium for the soccer team, and they wanted something a little more updated. So, but it's going to be really nice. But back to the Packer game, though, that's what everyone was saying. They want the Packers to win, and that's what Atlanta got. Atlanta's just buzzing right now, and I'm excited for them, because I'm kind of pulling for them because they haven't won a title yet. I wish my Raiders were still had a horse in the game, but they don't. But of all the teams playing right now, I'd kind of like to see the Cinderella Falcons do it. But also, before Derek Carr got hurt, he was one of the front runners for the MVP. But now he's hurt. I think Matt Ryan's going to run away with it, and he deserves it.
Yeah. So. What are your picks then for these upcoming championship games, Kevin?
Okay, so actually, I want to ask you about that real quick. Before, I think we should answer this in a two-part question. Okay, so we have Atlanta at Green Bay, and this is the first Sunday game at 3 o'clock Eastern time. And then we have New England it's Green Bay at Atlanta. And right now, Atlanta is currently favored by 4.5 points. And in the later game at 6:40 p.m. Eastern time, we've got Pittsburgh at New England, and New England is favored by 6 points. I want to ask you this. Okay, you want to know what my pick is. Let's do this. And I want you to start, Kyle. Who do you want to be in the Super Bowl, but who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? So tell me who you want, but then who you think is going to be in the Super Bowl.
Well, as far as the NFC side goes, I have to admit, with the Aaron Rodgers story going on right now, I think that would be the most fun in the Super Bowl.
That's what you want. This is what you want personally. That's my question.
This is what I want personally. What I think, though, is I think the Atlanta Falcons offense is just on so much of a roll, and their defense has done nothing but improve these last several weeks. I think Atlanta wins, but I don't think they cover the spread.
Okay.
Like to see Green Bay.
You want Green Bay, but you think Atlanta's going to advance.
Yeah, I think Atlanta is going to advance.
Who do you want in the AFC, but who do you think's going to advance?
Well, really, I would prefer neither in the AFC at this point, but I would lean towards Pittsburgh. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. I think that guy is a great coach, and I've always liked his style, and come on, it is the Patriots, and I'm just over the Patriots at this point.
Okay.
As far as who, I would say Pittsburgh would be my preference. As far as who wins, it's almost impossible to go against Brady and Belichick in the playoffs.
So you prefer to have Green Bay and Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, but you think it's going to be Atlanta and New England?
Exactly. And I do. However, I do think that, again, the Patriots do not cover the spread.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Who do I want in the Super Bowl? I would like to see Atlanta and Pittsburgh. Atlanta, for obvious reasons, because I've stated they don't have a championship. They've been to the big game, but they lost. And I would love for Atlanta to have some type of championship. That would be good. I want Pittsburgh to be in there because I respect Pittsburgh as an organization much more than I do New England.
Tuck rule, anyone?
It's not just the Tuck rule. It's, you know, the questionable Deflategate and the Spygate. And to quote a very good friend of mine about a minute ago, I am just over the Patriots. So I'm quoting you, Kyle.
Well, that's a good source to quote.
So, as much as, and I look back at the history of the Raiders and the Pittsburgh, and, you know, there's some great games those teams played, but as an organization and the way a team is run and just in general, and like you said, I like Tomlin too. I think he's really cool. And I like the fact that they've kept coaches for so long as well. But I respect Pittsburgh more than New England. I would like to see Pittsburgh in Atlanta. Who I think is going to be in the Super Bowl, I think, unfortunately, New England is going to win that game. I'm not convinced that they're not going to cover. I think they might be able to pull away later because Pittsburgh has had trouble on the road. So I think New England's going to win. I think possibly cover that spread. Who I think is going to win in the NFC. It's really tough to go against Green Bay, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Atlanta is going to win. But I agree with you. I think Green Bay is going to cover that spread. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be like maybe a 3-point spread. So I think it's going to be Atlanta and New England. And unfortunately, it's possible, I think, that New England is going to come away with this championship. I hate saying that, man. I really, really do. But I'm not going to be rooting. Yeah. I'm not whoever in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be rooting for the NFC team.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way, and it's just the state of the NFL. If Tom Brady and Bill Belichick combination somehow are in the championship game, I don't see how you can bet against them. Unless they're playing the New York Football Giants.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, man. Yeah, unless they're playing the New York Football Giants. Yeah.
Before we close out, too, Kevin, there's a couple other quick little NFL news things I think we should address. The San Diego Chargers are no longer the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up before we close this out. Big news: Chant San Diego is moving to L.A. But here's the deal, though. Originally we thought that if that were to happen, they would share a stadium with the Rams. Now it's not looking like that. Mr. I've got money to blow Kroenke is going to be playing in the city of Carson temporarily until something else is done. And it looks like they might have their own stadium built while they temporarily play. I'm forgetting the name of the stadium, but it's a small stadium. I think it's only like a 35,000 seat stadium that I think they use for soccer.
Let me correct you on this, Kevin.
Okay.
My understanding is that the plan is that Mr. Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams, is building that new super state, $4 billion stadium.
Did I get the billionaires' names mixed up? I'm sorry.
He's building that new $4 million stadium, and it will host both the Rams and Chargers once it's built.
I'd heard a report that the Chargers were going to have their own stadium somewhere else done. Well, so did I? That's incorrect.
That is incorrect. However, they will not be sharing the same stadium while that stadium is being built. The ex-San Diego Chargers are going to play at what is the field for the LA Galaxy.
Yes, that's the city. That's the city of Carson. They'll be playing at. Yeah,
which is like a 35,000 seat stadium, but that's going to be a different thing for the NFL, and it could be an interesting experiment actually, because the fans are fairly close to the field, and it's a lot more intimate atmosphere. It's probably going to be by far the smallest stadium in the league.
Oh yeah, temporary stadium anyway. Yeah, totally.
So I think it's an interesting experiment for that.
My take on this is I thought San Diego fans got hosed. The way I'm sorry, who's the owner of
Spanos?
Spanos, yeah, sorry. I thought he completely screwed them. This is a whole money thing, and it reminds me of the whole Baltimore Colts thing, you know, leaving in the middle of the night and all that kind of stuff. And I really feel bad for the San Diego fans, because as much as Raider fans, you know, have made fun of them in the past, and it goes back and forth, and how the Raiders game in San Diego has become a Raider home game. I still feel bad for those fans, and I don't think that, you know, it sucks that an owner would do something like that. And the other thing that pisses me off, being an LA Dodger fan, is I am not a fan of that logo they came up with. It looks too much like the Dodgers logo with the small.
Who run the Chargers are now saying that is not the official logo. Something they
threw now they are because of the backlash that they got.
In Tampa, there's been a great meme going out about that logo. And it's a picture of the Dodgers logo with a picture of the Tampa Bay Lightning logo with an enter key underneath saying how they designed the new logo.
let me give a little love to San Diego real quick here. And this is coming from a Raider fan. Their best logo is that curved bolt that is on their caps and stuff. Just stick with that bolt and just do something cool with Los Angeles, or do something like that. Say Carson, I don't care, but doing that LA logo was just lame.
Yeah. Now, speaking of moves, Kevin, we got two other things I want to hit up. The first one being the rumors going around that as soon as he can, which is supposedly February 15th, Raiders owner Mark Davis is going to officially file the paperwork to move the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas.
I thought maybe he already did that. And then it falls into the hands of the owners, which their next scheduled meeting that they will vote on is in March. And then if that passes, I think there's one or two more hurdles, but basically the Raiders will be playing in Oakland for maybe one or two more seasons while whatever is being developed in Las Vegas goes through with that stadium. And Raiders are basically just going to be renting out the O.co Oakland Stadium until they're ready to skip town. Yeah. Not happy about that. I feel for a lot of my Oakland fans that have been so diehard. And it also sucks too, is that the Raiders, because they're doing so well, they're also jacking up the prices at a crappy stadium for the season ticket holders and general sales as well. So the loyal ticket holders that have had season tickets for many, many years, have supported the Raiders in all these crappy seasons, are also getting hosed that way. And it's expected that if your team sucks for so long and then starts to do well, yes, there's going to be an increase. But because of the threat of the Raiders actually moving and the steps are being made, I have a lot of friends that are disgruntled about this, and I can't blame them one bit.
No, and you know, the best comparison I can make to this, Kevin, because I think the situation reeks too. I know you're not a huge NBA fan, but the Oklahoma City Thunder used to be the Seattle Supersonics.
I remember that, yeah.
And the Seattle had a great run in the 90s when they had Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, and Seattle was a huge basketball town. And what it boiled down to was there was new ownership. They demanded a new stadium. The city of Seattle wouldn't pay for it. So
I love that name, by the way, the Supersonics. I thought that was a great name.
And what the sad part was is Seattle had been bad for a few years, but they were on the rise. They had just drafted Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And they were on the rise. And this owner comes along and moves him to Oklahoma City. And this is very much what this feels like. Here's the Raiders, been bad for a long while now, starting to be on the rise. And here comes money-hungry Mark Davis, excuse me. As much as I make fun of Al Davis, he wouldn't have pulled this move. He might have done L.A. again.
His nickname right now, by the way, with Raider fans, is Mo Davis because of that awful haircut he has.
It's bad. Moving this team to... First, he's flirted with San Antonio for a few years. Now it's Vegas. To me, I feel bad for Raider fan in this aspect. They're not getting treated with any respect by the ownership of the team.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Mo Davis, as we call him, is not, you know, he's one of the poorest owners, and he's been wanting a stadium for a long time, and you know, he says that he's been working as best as he can with Oakland, and you know, there's some half truths in there. He has been, but you know, I don't know if he's been working as hard as he could to try and stay in Oakland as he claims to be, and Vegas has just basically thrown out the red carpet and the money to help get him there. And, you know, whatever happens, if the Raiders move to Vegas, I'm still staying with them. I love the Raiders, but I just hope they don't mess with the colors or the name. If they mess with the colors or the name, like they don't call it the Raiders, I'm going to have an issue and I'll have to rethink things if ever that happens. When just don't Las mess Vegas, with the color.
When the Las Vegas gamblers come.
they're already there, so it doesn't matter. But as long as you don't mess with the Raiders name and the Raider colors, I'm gonna follow them wherever they go. As long as that shield says Raiders on it and doesn't change, I'm fine with it.
Well, I mean, it's either the Las Vegas Gamblers or the Las Vegas Snake Eyes.
whatever, dude.
real quick on that, I do put some blame on the city of Oakland because both. They're going to lose their baseball team, too, because that stadium is atrocious.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you know, it's funny, though, because we've gotten around to – I've been there several times now, and a lot of dear friends of mine that go there to all the single games. The thing is a piece of you-know-what, yet they still love going there because it's family. It's family that's going to this place all the time, and that's what they're going to miss the most.
Yeah. Now, real quick, too, we had a bunch of head coaching changes in the – playoffs end, that's usually what happens. Just going to throw out, Buffalo had a coaching change. The Ryans are gone. I think the Ryans are probably officially out of the NFL now. Thank you. I'm done with that. They hired Carolina Panther defensive coordinator Sean McDermott. I think that's a good hire, a good young coach kind of on the way up. We had the Denver Broncos, Gary Kubiak, kind of retiring suddenly. And they're bringing in Dolphin defensive coordinator Vance Joseph to be their new head coach.
Yeah, Kubiak had health issues, and he wanted to get that straight, and I can't blame him for that. Raiders fired their offensive coordinator, and people were wondering, like, why did offensive coordinator get fired when they were 12-4? And my answer is they are not 12-4 because of our offensive coordinator, and I was kind of joking – kind of giggling in the back of my head when you were complaining about how Andy Reid was very vanilla and not really like taking chances. That OC for the Raiders, I don't even want to say his name. They were not 12-4. They were 12-4 because of Derek Carr, and a lot of great plays towards the end of the games were broken plays that Carr helped save.
You get to go whip up on that OC because he quickly took to the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and I can't wait for us to face that that offense run by a former Raider.
but not the only coaching change in the AFC West either. Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Chargers did hire former Buffalo offensive coordinator and interim head coach Anthony Lynn. And I think that was a decent hire. I thought he did a pretty good job filling in for those last couple games in Buffalo, and he really turned Buffalo's offense around when he got into that position. So interesting hire by San Diego.
Rams haven't hired anyone after firing Fisher, right?
No, this is actually one of the more interesting hires. The Los Angeles Rams hired Sean McVay, who was the offensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins. He is now officially the youngest head coach in the NFL. He is 30 years old.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right. Okay, so that's right. They did do that high. I forgot about that. Wow.
Now, interesting side note to this, they hired Wade Phillips to be the defensive coordinator in Los Angeles.
Gosh. I don't know.
I'm just glad to see him gone out of the AFC West.
yeah, I guess. I don't know. I like the idea of new blood. I'm tired of these coach round table of all these coaches that fail elsewhere, then they go somewhere else to fail. I even heard a rumor that the Redskins might be interested in one of the Ryans, and I'm like, God, look at their record. Just give it up. Try someone new. I'd like it. I like it when they hire from within or give someone the job, you know, give them the raise or whatever. Like it when they take chances on those guys, you know?
Well, that's been kind of the nice thing about these coaching hires. It's been a lot of new names. Now you're seeing guys recycled back into coordinator positions, but actually head coach, we're seeing a lot of new names. And from everything I'm hearing, Atlanta's going to take a hit too, because it sounds like Kyle Shanahan is going to take the San Francisco 49ers head coaching job.
Yeah. I don't see, I see why, you know, let's hope Kyle Shanahan has a Super Bowl ring and is able to do that for the Falcons.
As long as he's planning on getting rid of the dumpster fire that is Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Gosh, I know. Jeez.
So
I got a question for you as we go to these playoff games here. Are you going to be watching them at home? Are you going to go somewhere to watch them? And where are you watching the Super Bowl?
Well, I'll probably watch the playoff games at home. Just pop on and be in the comfort of my couch with some pizza, high definition TV. Super Bowl, usually I have a family tradition. I go watch the Super Bowl with my dad. That's been kind of a tradition. That's one of the things my dad, when I was younger, he was a cop, and so the schedule always didn't quite work out. But we always managed to find. He always managed to take Super Bowl Sunday off so we could watch the Super Bowl. At least
let me tell you, after meeting your parents, I would love to watch a Super Bowl with you and your parents, man.
Well, you know, my mom puts out a spread. There's always an open invitation. You're an 8-hour drive away. We got a bed for you.
That's awesome. You know, unfortunately, though, I'm going to probably be sticking around here, so I won't be able to hang out with you guys. Not unfortunate, but because Camille and I have kind of had a new tradition over the last few years. I haven't gone out to watch the Super Bowl in some public place. Unless the Raiders were in the Super Bowl, then, of course, our Atlanta Raider Booster Club would get together. But what I've been doing with Camille is we would watch the Puppy Bowl first.
Oh, yes.
on Animal Planet, because it's really cute and she enjoys that and I enjoy it too. And it helps support, adopting these dogs, and you get to see past puppies that were adopted. Now they're growing up into full dogs, and it's just kind of become a tradition. Order some pizza and food. And I like watching at home. I love watching the commercials and being at the Atlanta game, it was very interesting to see stuff in person, but the stuff that I kind of miss is what the news you would get faster through the commentaries that, you know, the commentators that are watching and getting the information firsthand, and it feels like you're getting a lot of the information secondhand when you're there live, you know?
Yeah, no, I kind of felt that way when we were at the Raiders, Tampa Bay game earlier this season.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to these games. I'm glad they're on Sunday. I don't have to, they're after I get home from work. Is there a particular one of these games, the Atlanta Green Bay or New England Pittsburgh, that you would be rather, if you could only watch one of these, which one would it be?
I would have to lean, I think, to the Green Bay Atlanta game. I think that's going to be a little bit more of an offensive explosion game and a little bit more fun to watch.
They're expecting over 60 points total to be scored in this game.
But I think both games have the potential to be very good games. We are talking about four very good football teams and honestly four elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, no, I'm excited. I'm ready for some championship games. We will be back in time to talk about the Super Bowl and what happened in the game. You've kind of gotten our picks here. I know Kevin said, I think we both, whether we like it or not, have to lean kind of Patriots until we're proven otherwise.
Yeah, it hurts me to say that too, bro.
It's not easy, but we'll definitely, the end zone will be back after the Super Bowl, because not only will we be talking about the game, it's the Super Bowl, which means we get to talk about some commercials.
Exactly. We'll definitely cover that. And one last thing before we end the show. If you're a fantasy football player, you know you've been covering – we covered our fantasy football league that Kyle was in, the NFL.com league. And one thing I wanted to give you as a reminder is if you want to continue playing fantasy football into the playoffs, you got to go check out the NFL.com NFL Playoff Challenge. It allows you to play fantasy through there. And the way it works is that you choose your players on your team – that are active in the playoffs, And if they advance to the next round and you keep playing the same person, you get double the points. And then if they advance again, you get triple the points. And there's a certain strategy that a lot of people have been doing in the first round of playoffs in the wild card is they'll start someone that maybe has a bye, so that when you come around to the second round of the playoffs, you will get the double points even though they didn't play in the first round. And so it's kind of fun right now. And I have I'm glad you came in on it. I call it the Reitzel Playoff League. And right now you're in third place, man. I'm in eighth. I'm not doing too well. So I'm hoping that my double, triple, quadruple points will kick in and shoot me up there. But I appreciate you participating, Kyle.
We're going to get you a voodoo doll to kind of get the fantasy football hex that you've had on this season gone for you before next.
I need an exorcism. Anyway, if you can jump on late on these things right now if you want to. It's a lot of fun, so check it out.
Yeah, and you know, well, we don't have too many more end zones to go, but we're going to have some fun. We got our Super Bowl show. We'll probably do some kind of show once some free agency signings have happened, and we'll definitely be doing something for the draft. And then. Yeah. We'll be back before we know it. We'll be talking fantasy football drafts for the 2017 football season.
Yeah, looking forward to that, man. This has been fun.
So we hope you take some time out, listen to the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network, whether it's Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast, Culture Clash, our weekly news updates, the Spotlight, the Couch Potato Theater, the Phantom Flashback, soon to be warping into the Time Warp, you know. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. If you have an Android phone, you can find us on the Google Play app. Kevin, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And you can find me on the Twitter at AKyleW. And you can find the Phantom Podcast Network at FanPod Network on the Twitter. Forgive me, it's about 12:30 at night here where I'm getting a little punchy.
We're up late tonight, bro.
So, but again, it's been a fun season. We'll be back to talk about the Super Bowl. You got any last words before we throw the Hail Mary like Aaron Rodgers does so well?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I just enjoy football. One of the fun things about football, even if your team is not in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, is just getting together with your friends and eating some good football food and just taking advantage of it and enjoying football.
Absolutely. And with that, I'm going to hopefully make my best Aaron Rodgers impression, and Kevin will make his Randall Cobb impression, and we'll hit this Hail Mary, and we will see you not only in the end zone, but it'll be the end zone of the Super Bowl. Thank you, everybody, for listening.